The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
There's concern that the number of cases of Lyme disease in Ireland is hugely underestimated, especially in the Cork and Kerry regions. New figures disclosed by the HSE revealed that the number of patients testing positive for the first state of the disease in the region has risen from 44 in 2007 to 425 in 2018. Professor of Medicine and Infectious Diseases at the Mater Hospital Dublin and UCD, Dr. Jack Lambert, is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, first of all, what exactly is Lyme disease? Is it a virus? Is it a bacteria? What is it?
It's a bacteria. It's a bacterial infection that you get from a tick bite, and it gets into your body and makes you sick.
Now, normally our immune systems get cracking on invasive bacteria like this, and we recover.
Well, you recover if you get antibiotics. People don't spontaneously get better from bacteria. If you get pneumococcus and you don't get antibiotics for that, you die. If you get Staph aureus and you don't get antibiotics for it, you die. Those are very virulent bacteria. But certain bacteria are low-grade bacteria, like Lyme, the bacteria Borrelia, and they make you sick, but they don't kill you right away.
Yeah. Do you eliminate this bacterium from your system, or is it there forever if you don't get treated?
If you don't get treated, that's where the debate comes around. If you don't get treated, the understanding is it just goes into your system and causes a low-grade infection, and then slowly, slowly, your immune system starts attacking, and you get sicker and sicker and sicker.
It has been historically difficult to diagnose. People often don't get a diagnosis of Lyme disease until it has progressed from a fairly innocent set of symptoms at the beginning.
That's correct. And the challenge is that people don't remember getting a tick bite, because a tick is the size of a sesame seed. If you had one behind your ear, you wouldn't notice it. Half the people that get Lyme don't get a rash. So people say, look for the rash of Lyme disease, but you don't always get it. And then the testing for Lyme is not 100%. It's an antibody test, so you can have a negative test and have the infection. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge for clinicians, and it's a challenge for patients.
Now, you mentioned it comes from the tick, and we were told it's a Kerry National Park where there are lots of deer, and that you're likely, if you are unprotected, say you're wearing shorts or whatever and hanging around territories where the deer are, that one might attach to you. And if you find one, I mean, how long do you have before you might become seriously infected?
Well, the thing is that, you know, it's not all tick are carrying Lyme. So in Ireland, between 5 and 10% of the ticks are carrying in Lyme. So you might get a tick bite and not be infected with Borrelia, because that tick doesn't have Borrelia, but you don't know. That's the challenge. So you can get a tick bite, that bacteria can go into your bloodstream, and then you may get sick within the next 2 to 4 weeks with a flu like illness. And if you don't remember the tick and you don't remember the rash, nobody's going to even think to do a Lyme test, you know. But it's no different than if you went out to the bar on a Friday night and you had sex with somebody, you know, you can catch HIV. The chances of that are really low, but it might not be the first thing on your mind. You have to have a suspicion about these infections. Lyme's no different.
Now, are there other creatures who carry the tick?
Well, yeah, actually, all sorts of small, you know, squirrels carry it, a white footed mouse carry it, geese carry it. It's just that you see people always dogs will carry it. It's just people talk about deer because deer are big and deer will have thousands of ticks on them. But all small animals and farm animals and domestic pets, they can carry ticks as well.
Mm. Do the ticks have to live on a creature, or do they, you know, lurk in the grass looking for an unsuspecting walker?
That's exactly what they do. You know, they actually will suck on the blood of deer and use the so they'll live on small animals, as like parasites, but they actually go into the ground and they go into the grass, and then they wait to jump on anybody that walks by, whether that's a human or that's a dog or another small animal.
Now, the early stages, I believe, can be treated very quickly and successfully with antibiotics. Is that so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's correct, if you recognize it. But that's the challenge, is that I think that my opinion is over 50% of people are not being treated because nobody recognizes it in the early stages. But you're right. If you catch it early and treat it early, it's a simple course of antibiotics, shorter course, 2 to 4 to 6 weeks, and then you can be cured if it's just Lyme. But ticks carry other infections as well, and that's where the challenge is. Mm. It's not just about Lyme. But yes, if you catch it early, I think it's curable in the early stages.
Now, the early stage symptoms, fatigue, muscle pain, joint pain, headache, fever, chills, neck stiffness, not all of those, perhaps all of them, maybe some of them, that could be almost anything.
That's the problem. If it's in the middle of flu season, influenza, it could sound like flu. If you're out, kind of kissing boys and girls, it could be Epstein-Barr virus, kind of infectious mononucleosis. So overlaps with many other things. That's the challenge, and that's what makes it difficult.
Okay, if you don't catch it early with antibiotics and you reach a mid-stage Lyme disease, what are the likely effects?
Well, that's where there's huge disagreement in the medical community. People says, "Oh, it just goes away spontaneously," but I know no other bacterial infection just disappears spontaneously. But people just get low grade symptoms, chronic pain syndromes, chronic brain syndromes, forgetfulness, head pressures. People get fibromyalgia, hurting all over. It's called fibromyalgia. People get tired and exhausted. And that's called chronic fatigue syndrome. But it's not really, it doesn't explain why they were sick. I still get back to the point that if you were perfectly healthy 2 years before and all of a sudden you're diagnosed with fibromyalgia, you're diagnosed with chronic fatigue, and you're having sweats and you're having palpitations and you're hurt, you've got symptoms all over your body, maybe there's something else, and maybe people should think about doing a Lyme test or taking a history to see if they've been a tick exposed environment.
And then if you still haven't addressed it with antibiotics, even in the mid stage, which might be effective, if you reach what they call late stage, what's likely to happen to you?
Unfortunately, you go from one specialist to another, and they don't diagnose it, and they give you some kind of a label. You've got a psychological disorder, you're making it up, you've got fibromyalgia, you're chronic fatigue. The neurologists call it FND, functional neurological disorder. If you can't figure it out, say it's functional, and then give people a label, and then you're denied treatment, and you're chronically unwell and disabled for the rest of your life unless people come up with the right diagnosis.
And if you are diagnosed in the late stage of Lyme disease, what is the treatment?
Okay, so my observation and studies have shown that if you treat for a longer period of time and then sometimes treat for the other infections besides Lyme that cause these infections, many people do get better. But that's where the debate is. The government and say that there is no such thing as chronic Lyme. It just spontaneously goes away, and there is no evidence that longer course treatment benefits people. But there's lots of data out there, scientific data, that says it is. So I think the guidelines need to be looked at again. People need to reassess things and think, twice, that these patients who are chronically unwell, many of them have a persistent infection, and many of them will respond to longer course treatment with antibiotics. No different than any other disease, other infectious disease that we manage, but Lyme seems to be unique. People just say short course treatment. If you're still sick, get over it. And you can't get over it if there's still an infection there.
Question from a listener. Can you get it from a dog tick?
Well, the ticks that are in dogs are the same kind of ticks. So many different ticks carry it. There's hard ticks and there's soft ticks. Most of the hard ticks, the ticks in Ireland are a specific type, and they jump from humans to deer to dogs. Yes.
My buddy was lethargic for years, suspected Lyme's due to the amount of bites he got from ticks over the years. It was not detected in Ireland with multiple tests. Eventually, he went to Germany to get it properly tested. Turned out he did have Lyme disease. And now, after treatment, he's like a new man. Another one, often a big problem with the HSE relating to this illness, as Dr. Lambert stated. It often shows up negative in testing. The HSE won't investigate any further, irrespective of symptoms, if you do get that negative result. My wife went undiagnosed for years as a result, but a €500 private test gave us the diagnosis needed. GP didn't know how to deal with it, and now it's too late. Deal with the symptoms, that's all that can be done. Abandoned by the health service.
And unfortunately, that's the kind of story that I'm seeing all the time. But I disagree with the opinion of the government. They say that the German tests, the alternatives, are they say they're not accredited, they're not licensed. But I've looked into the licensure of the Irish laboratories, and I've looked into the licensure of the Finland laboratories, the German laboratories, and there's an accreditation called ISO. Ireland has them. A lot of the foreign laboratories have them. So the argument that the German tests are not accredited or the Finland tests are not accredited is lacking in substance. And that really is hard for patients to pay, to go to a foreign country, pay all that money for a test, and then have these tests rejected. But you have to, it's not just the test. You actually have to, you can have, it's the patient's condition, their history, their current findings, and their response to antibiotics. You don't hang your hat on a test. You look at the big picture, and we're not looking at the big picture with these patients, in my opinion.
Professor of Medicine and Infectious Diseases at the Mater Hospital in Dublin and UCD, Dr. Jack Lambert, thank you very much for joining us.